So it's taking me, well, I basically changed this talk about 7 times and then reverted back to my original thing that I was going to speak on, which is what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. I feel like it's what I have to bring is it's pretty simple, but I feel like sometimes simple is really powerful. So, and it's something that God has sort of been doing in me over the last couple of months. So I'm just going to speak from the heart, and you know, I'm just praying that as I speak, God will just release something fresh in what I have to say. I've also got a PowerPoint. Yes, there it is. Woo. Do you want to go to the next slide, Jonathan? So if you have your Bibles, I'll just kick off with John 4, verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, God doesn't look for worship. He looks for worshippers. He looks for people who are going to choose him in the midst of chaos and confusion. And he looks for people whose ability to worship and their ability to be thankful isn't dictated to by circumstances or emotions or situations. And when I think of worship in spirit and truth, I always go to the Psalms. I always go to David, because for me, David was a person who just totally had it down when it comes to worship in spirit and in truth. You know, he understood that before anything else, what was most important was intimacy with God. You know, he was known as a man after God's own heart. And for me, the reason was because he totally understood what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And if you have your Bibles, if you want to go to Psalm 55, verse 1 to 5. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I'm surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. That might have been a weird one to have picked, but the point is that David, just, he really understood vulnerability. You know, he never ever hid how he was from the Lord when he got before God. And if you want to learn about authenticity, David is just the perfect example. You know, when he spoke with God, he just laid it all out. He knew his need for God, and he was a man who just walked in complete humility. And he understood that it was okay to not be okay. I keep forgetting what I've written on the slide, so I'm trying to keep up with myself. You know, and really simply, worship in truth means nothing hidden. You know, God is not a God of expectation. He's a father. He's the God of relationship. And that means that I get to be me. I get to bring my mess. I get to bring my good, my bad, and my ugly, and know that he can totally handle it. You know, I read this thing that Vicky posted a couple of days ago. Just one part of it just said, you know, we have permission to be honest. And I think that that is so powerful. You know, David's life was a witness that weakness doesn't disqualify us. When, you know, his strength is made perfect in weakness. And if anything, David's life shows that vulnerability and honesty actually increases the capacity for God to move through us, because it just creates a powerful foundation of just intimacy with God. You know, if his strength is made perfect in weakness, then that gives us permission to be weak. And I think for me this year it's been tough. You know, I've been dealing with a lot of emotional stuff. I don't even know why I'm getting emotional. I think it's just because it's an emotional morning. You know, and I've really, really had to learn that place of the Father's heart. That place of just no expectation, where I can just come and I can just be. You know, it's so, so freeing to know that God doesn't expect anything from us. He just wants us. Word. You know, and I'm still on that journey of understanding that it's okay to not be okay. You know, and I want to spend more time on what it means to worship in spirit. So if you want to turn with me to Hebrews 13:15, and I want to just bring some thoughts around that. Are you alive? Good. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And before I go into what it is to give a sacrifice of praise, I just want to say that I'm not just talking about, you know, a sacrifice of praise in the context of worship. You know, for me, a sacrifice of praise just operates in every area of our life. You know, it's in the act of showing up and being present in areas of life. When you don't feel like it, for me, that is a sacrifice of praise, is being present. You know, whether that's physically showing up, whether it's showing up emotionally and often spiritually for me. You know, when you choose to do the thing that you don't feel like doing, that's the moment that it becomes an offering, something that costs us. Yes, do you want to go to the next slide? I forgot I had a PowerPoint. You know, sacrifice is a step beyond convenience, a step beyond what I feel like doing. And something I was just thinking about, and something that God just revealed to my heart recently, is that we won't ever be able to give him something that costs us like we can while we're here on earth. Because when we get to heaven, it's going to be absolute paradise. There's going to be no pain, no anger, no disappointment, no frustration. We're just going to be in bliss just before God. It's going to be paradise. And that means that we only have the privilege of offering him something that costs us in our lifetime here on earth. You know, like the woman in Matthew who just poured her perfume over the feet of Jesus. It was an act of complete extravagance. It was her most costly perfume, and she just freely poured it at his feet. And I know for me that something that God has been teaching me is about not being a person who just gives when I feel like it. That's how relationships break down in the natural. That's not a heavy thing, but that's just the type of person that I want a steward to be like, is someone who just gives that step beyond convenience. And for me, you know, one of the areas that I've learned most about what it means to give a sacrifice of praise is in the context of worship, whether that's corporately or whether that's, you know, in my just time with the Lord. And, you know, for anyone who knows me, you know that I love worship. It's the place that I feel most connected to God. It's the place that I, you know, I just feel like I come alive. But time after time, I just come, you know, whether it's on a Sunday morning, and I just get here and I'm tired and I'm really fed up. I feel disconnected. You know, I've had a really rubbish week. And sometimes, you know, I just don't want to engage. Don't want to engage with people. I don't want to engage with God. And it just feels really hard and really rubbish. But actually, something that I feel like God has been really challenging me on is to still choose to position myself to give him something that costs me in those moments. And sometimes it's literally as simple as I'll move to the front, or I'll move to the side, or I'll get away from people, that sounds really bad, but just move myself so I'm in my own space with God. And sometimes I just put my hands out. Sometimes during worship, I'll just stand there in silence, or I'll sing, maybe I'll say just a little prayer, or just say, thank you so much, God, for your presence, and not say anything else for the entire time. But in me actually physically positioning myself by placing my hands out, that is me saying to God, this is my offering. I'm not feeling like it, but here, this is me. And sometimes you have to tell your soul to bless the Lord. You know, Psalm 103, it says, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, let all that is within me shout out. And on those days where you're not feeling too great, you've had a hard week, there's really tough situations going on, it just, you know, a sacrifice of praise requires us to speak to our soul and tell it to give thanks to the Lord. Like I was, a month or so ago, I was just in my time with God and I was in a really, really bad place. I was just like on the floor, just completely bawling my eyes out. You know, I just felt like I'm fed up. I can't do this anymore, God. I don't know where you are. I don't know what is happening. I'm just so done with life. And just in that time of just pouring out my heart and being really vulnerable, I just felt God say, get up and worship. And at first I just completely ignored it. Because I thought, I can't be bothered. I don't want to. I feel weak. That's not what I want to do. And again, like a few minutes later, he said, get up and worship. And he said it sternly. And for me, when God says something sternly, I know it's probably a good idea to do it. So I just like pulled myself up off the floor, wiped my tears, put on some worship music, and I just began to worship. Most of it was literally just me standing there in silence with my hands out. But after a while, I just felt peace. That was it. It was really simple, nothing grand, no, you know, earthquake around me or whatever, or suddenly I felt overcome with joy. I just felt peace. And, you know, did any of my situations immediately change? No. Did I feel fine and better? No. But I knew that in that moment, I'd given him something that meant something because it cost me to give it. You know, we have to come to a place where we are able to use the mess of circumstances or situations or emotions to be able to offer God a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thankfulness. You know, but that I'm saying all of this, and when you're not feeling good, it's real, you know, and when there are situations that are not great, it's, you know, it is rubbish. But I think there is a real balance to be found between being vulnerable with God, yet choosing to focus on the truth of who he is and just speaking that into our situations. You know, David did it all the time in the Psalms. He just got before God. He let him know how it was. He just sat, was angry, mad. Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Why are you in despair, my soul? But yet he always declared the truth of who God is over all of his situations. And like I was saying, don't get me wrong, I totally believe that there are seasons where it is so okay to just be a mess before God and just to get mad, be disappointed, everything like that. And if that's all that you have for a while and that's all you can do, he can totally handle it. But I don't believe we're meant to stay there either. I feel like there's a choice to make in those places and those moments to choose God and to choose his truth above what our situations and our circumstances are telling us. So if you want to go Psalm 23:4-6. Am I making sense? Great. We'll just go one to, might as well read it all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, I've just picked this as an example because I love it. But all throughout the Psalms, you have this pattern of David just coming before God and just being completely vulnerable and then just speaking over and over and over again just the truth of who God is and who he is in God. You know, declarations. Where are we? Yes, good. Jonathan, you're on it. Thank you. Declarations carry the creative power to call something into being that isn't yet. You know, and I was just thinking of, you know, when you speak something out, if you think of what you speak out as a pathway, you know, declarations create a pathway for God to release an experience over your life where those truths become reality. Thanksgiving releases breakthrough. You know, a heart of thanksgiving is pleasing to the Lord. you know, whether you feel like it or not, as you just give thanks for who God is, what he's done in your life. As I declare over my life, I will not be shaken. Your joy is my strength. You never leave me. You never forsake me. I actually invite an experience for those things to come and operate in my life. You know, the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. And one of the first things that he'll try and come and steal is your voice. He'll try and silence your ability to worship, your ability to be thankful. Because as you speak, you create and you release breakthrough. You know, life and death are in the tongue. And it's so important, which is something that I'm learning, is to watch what you're speaking. Because as easily as you can speak life and you can create, you know, breakthrough and release wonderful things, you know, into the atmosphere, you can also just speak death over yourself. I'm really bad at doing that, you know, whether it's I believe lies about, you know, I'm fat, I'm ugly, blah, 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 you know, and I just speak just really rubbish out. And I just feel like God has massively challenged me to choose his truth. Because as I speak it, I encounter that truth as a reality in my life, you know, and it takes perseverance. It requires diligence. It requires us to choose to be thankful. And that might mean that you have to fake it till you feel it for a while. You know, usually when I speak out the truth of God, I don't necessarily feel it. I don't necessarily see it immediately. I don't necessarily believe it. But I know that in the spiritual realm, something is being created for those truths to become an experience in my life. And I believe that they will. It might not be right now, but I know that they will. You know, I have a friend who every morning, when she was just like in the shower, she would just speak words over herself. She would just wash herself down with truth. You know, I am good enough. I am loved. I am your beloved. You are faithful. And she spoke that over herself like for a year until she believed it. But now when the enemy comes to try and speak, you know, into those situations, into those moments, she can just brush it off because of those truths are a firm reality in her life now. He has no access to those places anymore. You know, the enemy has no power over someone who can worship in spirit and in truth. He has no power over someone who's found the balance of being completely vulnerable, yet choosing truth. It's about continually setting him before us. You know, I could add more to this, but I feel like I should just end there. I know it hasn't been very long, but I just feel like I just want to give some time to the Holy Spirit. And I've got some post-it notes and some pens. And I just want us to spend like a couple of minutes asking the Holy Spirit if there are any declarations that he wants us to be speaking over our lives in this season. Because I believe that as we speak, breakthrough comes. And I just feel like for some people, you need to know what he's asking you to speak out over your life. So where have they gone? They're there. Cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So what I'll just put some music on and then I will. Yeah, that'd be good. And they can just be really, really simple things. You know, they could just be prayers of thanksgiving. So yeah, once you... Yeah, and if people feel comfortable, because there's so much power in speaking things out, I just thought it'd be a really great idea if people feel like it, to just get with the person next to them and just speak out your declarations and just agree together for those things to be released in your life. So when you're finished, if you just get with the person next to you, and we'll just give a couple of minutes for that.